DW.
Your last song? Oh, okay.
One by one, Stanley Joie reads the names of his wife, Mami, and of his four children. They're neatly painted onto simple wooden crosses that mark their graves on a burial ground next to an Ebola treatment unit in Liberia's Bong County. More than 80 fresh graves in neat rows cover the ground. Gravediggers drive their pickaxes into the dry earth to dig more holes. Death is everywhere. In disbelief, Stanley stares at the eerie sight. It's the first time he's been able to visit the graves of his family. All of them had contracted Ebola and were brought to the treatment unit. One after the other, they died. Only Stanley survived the disease. This was in November 2014. Stanley doesn't know why God spared his life, he says. He just wanted to die.
Yeah, well, I play bush.
That place is covered in bush now. We went there for Decoration Day in March last year. The area's all overgrown because no one takes care of it.
Today, more than 4 years later, nature has taken back the graveyard where Stanley's family was laid to rest. There's no trace left of the Ebola treatment unit that was next to it. Nothing is here to tell the stories of the dead, of those who lost their loved ones, of those who so courageously fought against the virus, and of those that survived.
For the first year, the second and the third, all I thought about was the trauma, about what my wife and I had together. She gave birth to my children, and those children, all of them died, as well as my wife. So I'd sit here and I'd think, at my age, how will I find a woman who will give me children like the ones that I've lost? People came and talked to me, counseled me. They said, forget about it. Only God knows the reason why this happened to you. You will have more children. You will still build a home. I listened to their advice. I eventually let go of the trauma. I went to church and the pastor gave me guidance. My heart began to heal. And so in around 2015 or 16, I let go of the pain.
2016, dropping.
Stanley now lives in Monrovia. His cheeks have filled up. He looks healthier. The 48-year-old rarely goes back to Taylor Tar, his home village that lies around 200 kilometres from Liberia's capital, where he was living when he got infected with Ebola.
When I go to Taylor Tar, some people from the bushes.
When I go to Taylor Tar, some people from the bush give me trouble. And so when I'm there, I know I have to be calm and control myself. Some people have encouraged me to move back, but I tell them I can't live in Bong County anymore. Monrovia is a better place for me to live because I don't have any problems here.
You're all right for me. I hear no problem.
Stanley believes that some people from Taylor Tar still blame him for what happened in 2014. Back then, Stanley took his son from a house in Monrovia that had been quarantined and brought him to his village. Soon, his son fell ill with Ebola and died. 25 other villagers got infected. 14 were killed by the virus. Stanley himself lost his entire family. He became the scapegoat for the village. Somebody attempted to burn down his house. He received death threats. The tension in Taylor Tar was high, and so Stanley left for Monrovia. Today he lives in a quiet neighbourhood where he shares a small house with his uncle Mohammed and his family. The two men sit on low chairs under a tree outside the house. Mohammed says Monrovia is much better for Stanley.
When I see Stanley, they see me, I'm happy.
When I see Stanley, I'm happy. We don't have anybody left in the village. All the people he loved that made him happy, all of them are gone. His wife is gone, the children are gone, the grandmother is gone. I say, brother, why are you there? Come here. Life is short, you die quick.
That one can make you get stop life. You die quick. You sit down thinking, you die quick.
If you just sit around thinking, you die quick, with grief in your heart. You eat food, but you don't get full. You drink water, but are still thirsty. You lie down, but you don't sleep well. I told him that if he comes here, he'll eat well and be satisfied. He'll rest and be free. Now we go walking, we play games, we laugh, we watch football. That'll help you forget.
Laugh. What football game? Okay, that won't make you forget.
Stanley had started to build the house he now shares with Muhammad with his late wife. They'd wanted to move there from the village. The walls are not yet plastered, the floor not yet sealed.
And I hear nothing I'm doing. Here you can see my home. Everything that I live with and myself build a house.
I don't do anything here. My late wife and I started building this house, but since her death, I haven't had any money or help to finish it. The government did promise to give support to the survivors, but we don't know what happened with that. I have to hustle on my own to get food. There aren't any stable jobs. I can only get contract work to earn my daily bread.
Life in Liberia is a struggle, Stanley says. Muhammad agrees.
The time is hard. Don't want to lie. The time is very hard. Before Ebola.
It's hard. I don't want to lie. It's a difficult time. Before Ebola, it was easy. I was working with Firestone. But after Ebola, they laid us off. I left the bush and came to town to look for a job. Now I'm not doing anything.
When you can be in the bush, you don't work. You're just there.
Sometimes my wife goes out to sell things. Sometimes you can stand in town the whole day, waiting in vain for a job, standing in the sun from morning till evening without enough money even to buy water to drink. I don't know how to get $40 for my son's school fees, but I will get it. I don't want to steal, I don't want to rob someone's house, so I just go out looking for a hustle.
But I'll get it. I will not go steal. I will not go bug around somebody's house. I just got to look for a hustle.
But, bit by bit, Stanley is picking up the pieces and putting his life back together.
I'm happy. Since we got together, he's never made me feel bad. I give him encouragement. I say, what happened is in the past. Think about God's plans for you. Stanley always listens to me, and I like that.
Marie is slim and tall. Her gestures are elegant. Her smile is warm. Stanley and her have been together now for more than a year. Marie understands him well. She feels his pain. Her own husband died in 2013, leaving her behind to fend for herself and her four children.
She can feel sorry for me. She can advise me. She can counsel me.
She feels sorry for me. She talks to me, and when I sit down, she says, don't think. I think of all her children as my own now. She gives me good advice. She's like both mum and dad to me now.
Only at night when he sleeps, the past sometimes catches up with him.
When I lie down, I dream about them.
When I sleep, I often dream about them. We're all together in my dreams. I see my children, I see my wife. But when the day breaks, they disappear and I'm left feeling confused.
You'll be confused.
Marie and her children live with her sister. She says she'll only move in with Stanley once he's fixed up a proper home for them. But she visits him to do his laundry. He pays her children's school fees. And they often all get together at her house. It makes Stanley happy to have children around him again, something he deeply missed.
All right, I'm going, Papa. You see me all around me.
All of them call me Papa. When they see me, they all run to me and I feel really happy. They aren't here right now, but if they were, they'd come running up to me.
Right now, not there, but when they see me, Papa not gone. They're running up to me.
He's a mighty healer. He cleans a leper.
I would thank the Lord for bringing us again here to this place for worship.
Victor Padmore has just finished his morning prayers in a little chapel on the grounds of Phoebe Hospital in Bong County. He's on his way to Taylor Tar, Stanley's home village. The round-bellied man is a Lutheran pastor. He works at the hospital as a psychosocial counsellor.
Generally, there's a good forgiving spirit in our country. We went through a war, and I will tell you, some people who did some of the things in the war, they trusted it. They are still friendly with people here today. We are moving about. We are interacting. If not, we will still be fighting today.
After the community in Taylor Tar fell apart because they couldn't deal with the deaths of so many, the whole village was traumatised and they harboured a deep-seated hatred for Stanley. In March 2015, the pastor organised a traditional reconciliation ceremony. Everyone came together and each villager could bring forward their fears and grievances, and Stanley asked them for forgiveness. It was the beginning of a long healing process. But now, Liberians have other things to worry about.
The issue of stigma is not quite strong here. Like, the people have the stigma of HIV. The Ebola stigma is not that strong, because even right now, some of those who were Ebola victims are in school and nobody recognizes and nobody pick up the issue. I think people are getting along. It's just that for some people, some of the areas where a lot of people were victims, like children, the kind of support that people receive in the first year and a half is no longer coming. Many places have economic crisis, even though we have ours. But I'm sure our government is going to work at it. I can't speak for them, but it's terrible. Many persons coming down from Ebola and things when this raid, and to have this economic situation is quite heavy for some people, but others are managing it. But it's really not in easy times. It's really greed.
It's market day in Taylor Tar, along the only dust road that leads through the village. Merchants present their colourful wares, clothes, cosmetic products, soft drinks, spices, canned food, medication, pots and pans on rickety market stalls. Music is blaring from a loudspeaker. Not far from the market, in a small bar, Reverend Padmore meets a group of women, all Ebola survivors. One of the survivors, Betty, lifts up her shirt to show a long scar on her stomach. She says she even had to buy her own medication after her operation, as the hospital was out of stock. Reverend Padmore explains that the hospital doesn't get the money to buy drugs and therefore can't provide free services as it should. A grievance that comes up again and again, whether in the villages or in the capital. They all start talking, telling Padmore about their problems. One speaks of the pain she's had since Ebola. Another one says she lost her daughter to the virus and now has to take care of her grandchildren. There's no money to send them to school. They feel neglected by the government.
It'll be my house. I'll be in the house for my family.
Back in Monrovia, Stanley is shoveling sand from a large pile onto a smaller pile. He mixes the sand with water and fills a wooden cast with it to make a large mud brick. Three are already drying in the sun. He has just started the work. Stanley's body isn't as strong anymore since he had Ebola. He says he'll need about 3,000 bricks to build a new home for his new family.
I want to have my family with my wife with kids.
I want my wife and kids to live here. That will make me forget what happened in the past. Yes, I lost my family to the Ebola epidemic, but I want to live here with the family I'm building now. They understand me and I understand them. My wife understands me and I her. We can live together as husband and wife.
As husband and wife.
Want to have more children?
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to have three with her.
Every survivor in Liberia deals differently with the past. Stanley has decided to carry on living, an idea he struggled with for a long time.
DW.